And I say to you, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And spiders, little hairy ones with those legs. And my mother-in-law's enormous. But I'll tell you what Eleanor and I do like. We like The Bill Show with Bill and Randy. Yes, we laugh, we cry, and we're kind of glad we're dead. So if you want to support The Bill Show, please go to thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place. And you can just press the patron button, and you can give them money so they can buy microphones and beer. Come along, Eleanor.
Say, hell yeah.
We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose.
From the expat home of the resistance, it's the Bill Show. And now, brothers and sisters in solidarity,
hello, Randy.
Hi, Willie. How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you? It's
good.
It's been
in the age of Corona. How are you in the age of Corona?
Well, it's kind of calmed down here in this country. It has.
Well, it's we brought the shutters down pretty quick in Australia.
We did. We did. I never
and,
thought that
we stopped international travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we haven't restarted it, and. We've had a grand total of 102 deaths.
Yeah.
And about 7,000 infections.
Yeah, and in America it's
119,000.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah.
And 2 million infections.
I'm just kind of, you know, I mean it scares me every time I look at the American news. Things are starting to get back to normal here a bit. I never thought that I'd be able to applaud a conservative prime minister in Australia, but I think he's done a pretty good job. In that way.
Well, I think he followed the cues of the WHO and people like that.
The scientists.
And
you know, like logical humans do.
Yeah.
As opposed to
That's it.
The comic relief for our time.
So anyway, our Prime Minister Scott Morrison sort of followed the cues of the WHO. He was in touch with China almost immediately and took what they were saying seriously.
Yes.
And brought the shutters down, stopped international travel.
Yep.
We did have one hiccup where they allowed a cruise ship to dock at the beginning of March.
Yes.
And let people off without testing. And the ripple effect of that was enormous.
Yes, it was.
And it was, yeah.
It was. But all in all, it's been, we've gotten away with it pretty well. Excuse me, I don't even have a cough button here. Hold on. Excuse me.
Oh, that was terrible.
It's not COVID. It's not COVID.
No.
Well, we've been itching to do a show, and
Don't say itching.
Okay, we've been itching to do a show, and I've been looking at what's been happening in the United States, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time again for us to focus on what we do here, which is talking a little bit about American politics. So why don't we go first with our introduction music? Yes, it's another week, another month for Senor Trump. Here it is.
Mr. T-Rump, yeah.
Play the ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? It's your Uncle Vladimir Putin here. I am here to make wonderful special introduction with my shirt off and my nipples really hard. I would like everyone to drink a toast to Donald Trump, your president. Actually, it's my president. The Slovia. And now another episode of Donald Trump, American, Russian, a president. Who knows, really? Everyone drink! Oh, I'm going to make so much money.
Yes, that's right, Randy. I'm digging up the old intros.
International. We all have to talk like Russians for the rest of the show.
There is a story. The reason I ran that particular one, because there is a story that I have today that happened in the last 4 weeks that I think is absolutely hilarious in a really dark way. Well, folks, COVID is coming back in Florida and Texas.
Yeah, the second wave.
And who knew that would happen? Actually, yes, I know. Randall Berger, retired man, a drunk retired man in Castle Bay, knew this was going to happen.
It's history repeats itself. If you look at the statistics for the Kansas flu, it's not the Spanish flu. It started in Kansas. If you look at that, they let their guard down.
It spiked in 1918. Okay. Well, only it's the statistical proof of everything that has happened in every other country and the historical proof of what happens in a pandemic. But, of course, pandemics make me look bad. Meanwhile, if that wasn't enough, in the last 4 weeks, a cop murdered a black man one too many times on national television in America. Trump tried to put the U.S. military on the street. Millions from one corner of the earth to another protested in every major city around the globe, Randy. Demonstrations got violent as we saw film of cops all over America doing exactly what the demonstrators were accusing them of. They don't get irony in America, which immediately stirred Republicans to drawing up a plan to militarize the local police forces.
That's right.
And give them that more of that old Iraq war surplus. And then, of course, down here in Australia, I fed my cat. But yeah. Randy, I'm sitting there thinking that this is absolutely the perfect storm for Trump. There's no way, and I know we're talking about people's lives. We're talking about it from a political point of view. What he's doing in America is nothing short of it's incompetence. On the most of it, I'd say it's murder. I think that he is an absolute incompetent. He doesn't care. But
he keeps saying the stupidest things.
Yes, and he keeps saying the stupidest things. I don't think he's sane.
No.
I have always said that he's insane. And now we're seeing him be totally insane.
Insane.
No, it's insane. You know when conservatives around the world, regardless of their convictions ideologically, they look at scientists and they do what they tell them because it's in their interest to do so.
Yeah.
What you've seen in a row with COVID is Trump literally just denying that it existed and doing things that politically have been awful for him. This is a clip from MSNBC. Guess who's losing big time to Joe Biden? And by the way, Joe Biden has spent the last couple of months in his basement.
In his basement, wearing a mask. Yeah.
In his basement, where Joe Biden should stay, because every time he opens his mouth, it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
so Joe Biden, in his basement, is beating Donald Trump. This is the clip from MSNBC this week.
In Michigan, Donald Trump's head-to-head matchup with Joe Biden shows that Joe Biden is now well ahead of him in double digits in Michigan. And Jake, we're hearing, and I'm not exactly sure why, maybe you can explain to us, Biden ahead 55 to 39% in Michigan. The Detroit Free Press said that perhaps some of the movement, the net for movement in Biden's direction was because of what happened on June the 1st. People seem to be repulsed by that. But why is Biden doing so well in all of the swing states, or in most of the swing states right now? Because you look at polls, and it used to be that the swing states were really tight and close, even if Biden were up by 8 or 9 points nationally. But now we're seeing more and more polls that are saying Biden not only has a double-digit lead, but he's also doing very well in states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, and things are even getting tight. Biden's even ahead in some polls in swing states like Ohio and Iowa. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, you could choose any number of the reasons. I mean, the president seems to inject himself into controversies without much logic or reason behind it. And I agree. This is not just Michigan, as you just noted. It's Ohio. It's Iowa, where the vice president visited yesterday in a Des Moines Register poll. It showed a tight race, a state that the president has been relatively popular in, which also has a tight Senate race. You're seeing this in Arizona, too. And if you look kind of across the map, again, these are polls 139 days before the election. But if you look across the map, if you start putting states like Arizona, Iowa in play, Michigan in play, then that shuts off a huge, huge pathway for the president.
Yeah, and it just means basically, Randy, that Donald Trump is now losing in states that he easily carried. He's being absolutely killed in Michigan. That's the only reason he won the last election, was because of those states in the Midwest. And now he's having to struggle to get states like Texas and states like Arizona. So if this keeps up, I'm going to not make the prediction now because it's crazy. But I'm actually fairly confident that even Joe Biden and his basement could probably – because it's very, very difficult to be a Trump supporter if, you know, grandma's upstairs dying of the virus and you don't have a job. And
can I just
– yeah, go ahead.
Can I just say, I don't think it's Biden beating Trump. I just think it's ABT, anybody but Trump.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be Smokey the Bear. I think people are just swinging away from Trump. They just realize, you know, what an idiot he is, how used they've been, how they've lost all of their benefits.
Yes.
And I think it's only the real radical ones that that – want to be on Hollywood Squares or
He was at 44. He was at 44%, Randy, and now he's down to about 34%. And the rabid base. Now he's. You know, I don't think people are starting to break away, and you can see. You can also see the rabid wolves around him starting to make some distance. You know, there are things like, you know, I get Mitt Romney's always been away, but I mean, there are other people that after this Bolton book comes out, you're going to see these guys they're going to be scurrying out of that. They're going to be scurrying out of that fucking ship quicker than you can say Jack
like
Robinson.
Like cockroaches when you turn on the
light. Yeah, I know. Jeez, the cops are back. Listen.
But the Bolton book isn't even out yet, and it's already the number one.
You had a look. This is John Bolton, the former national security advisor, the United States of America. You know, important job. So important they gave it to an idiot like John Bolton. But John Bolton was better than Trump. And this is John. What are some of the things that you heard came out of the Bolton book that hasn't been uploaded yet?
He really made a heavy appeal to Xi Jinping of China to help him get reelected.
So it wasn't just chocolate cake that he was. Do you like your chocolate cake?
No, he was. Yeah. I want you to help me get elected.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Oh, the fact that as a smokescreen for Ivanka, he did that whole thing about. With the Saudis about Khashoggi. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. You know, maybe they did, you know.
And
that was just a thing for Ivanka, who would have been plastered all over the media for using a private email server for government communications. Now, I have heard of that before, and it's I don't know who it was, but it wasn't a very popular move.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, it's madness, man. It is. Listen, we also have a mailbag full of little stories that I've collected from since last we got together. And here are a few, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just check in this mailbag here.
Let's reach in the bag and pull one out.
I'm going to reach in the bag and pull one out, Randy.
Yeah, nothing up my sleeve.
Nothing up my sleeve.
That trick never works. Yeah, I know.
I'm reaching in the bag. Here it is. Ah, here's one. Texas Republicans share on Facebook Floyd's murder. Of course, the Mr. Floyd who was choked to death on national television.
Yeah,
Floyd's George murder Floyd, was a stage to make Trump look bad.
Yeah, of course.
This came. Republican leaders in four Texas counties shared racist Facebook posts, some of which also floated conspiracy theories, leading Governor Greg Abbott to call for the two of them to resign. Abbott and other top Texas Republicans called for the called for the resignation of the GOP chairs Bexar and Nueces counties for after they shared on social media a conspiracy theory that Floyd's death was a staged event, apparently to gin up opposition to President Donald Trump. We here at the Bill Show were very interested in the staging of such of these assaults because we like theater, and we caught up with Philippe Jean Pierre Dajou. He's a very very influential. Oh, yeah, him. No, we've caught up with him, the actor and creative director of the Dead Black Guy Theater Company in Austin, Texas. So here it is, our interview. This is it. Hello, Mr. Director.
Hello, Bill. It's very good to see you. How are you? It's lovely to be here on your wonderful show. I want to tell you that, well, most of the time our improvisations look very realistic. As you can see, we're staging a race riot right now. People! You need to cry more from the tear gas. I don't believe you. We work under a grant from the Soros Foundation for Theater Arts. It's a problem with these policemen, though. You know, a lot of people talking, did you hire them? Did you cast them? No, of course I didn't. Would never cast people like that in an incident like that. It's terrible. The trouble with these policemen is that so many of them are method actors. You know, they kill countless black people, but you also must admire their dedication to the role. I mean, when they kill black people, I really believe they're killing black people. Let's do the tear gas scene. Twain, you do the chokehold. I love your work, darling. Stunning.
Thank you very much, director. I don't know where you came in.
Thank you.
That character in there. Yes. The entire thing has been staged by a director of the Soros Found, the Dead Black Guy Theater Company. Yes, that's right. It's all been staged just to make Trump look bad.
They're doing, and aren't they doing a 90th commemoration of the Tulsa Massacre?
Yes, we are doing that too. Yes,
they're restaging the Tulsa Massacre.
Oh God!
And the 3,000 lynchings.
Why would any?
They're really in demand.
Yeah, they're really in demand, that theater company. Yes, that's dark. But it's not staged, okay? It's not staged. These guys are saying it's staged. Really? The irony department, we want to go over there to the irony department, ladies and gentlemen. Russia, this is from the Associated Press, and this is why I played the opening for Trump this week.
With Putin. With
Vladimir, yes. Okay.
Let's all talk like Russians again.
Yes, sure. Here we go.
Russia.
Thank you. This is from the Associated Press. Russia urges the U.S. to observe democratic standards. and respect.
I was just drinking
and
something.
Respect Americans' right to protest. I love Vladimir. He's the hardest working man in show business. Can you imagine how, after listening to the moral turpitude in which America has always talked down to human rights to the Soviet Union and then Russia, can you imagine how smug this guy is now? The ministry. I'll read on the story. This is the ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, says Moscow has taken note of the use of tear gas to disperse rallies and massive arrests of protesters in the United States. She also pointed out numerous journalists, including Russian reporters, were hurt while covering the protest. Actually, Vlad did get on the phone and said something like, look at this, gassing, assault, rubber bullets. Why don't you...
Why don't you
give them radioactive tea? Or drop a bomb with nerve gas in it, or blow up an airliner. Yes. Come on, Donald, show some style. It is like Bill O'Reilly, Roger Ailes, and Jeffrey Epstein giving you sensitivity training when Vladimir Putin tells you about how to run a democracy.
Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen. This is the one that I just absolutely can't.
Oh, did you just pull this out of the hat?
Yeah, I'm just pulling it out. I'm pulling it out. As I talk. Yeah.
I'm totally random, man.
None of this has been written before.
None of it's staged, yeah.
Okay, Trump rally attendees must agree not to sue his campaign if they get coronavirus.
Of course.
Oh, man. Really?
And it's in Tulsa. It's in Tulsa.
On Thursday, the Trump campaign. Oh, Christ. Why would they do that?
On
Thursday, they know people are going to get sick and they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. They have no give a shit. On Thursday, the Trump campaign sent out registration forms for the president's first rally since the coronavirus shutdown, including a waiver for attendees to agree to acknowledge the inherent risk of gathering at an enclosed space to yell for hours at a time. By attending the rally, you and any of your guests voluntarily assume all the risks related to exposure to COVID-19 and agree not to hold DB Donald J. Trump for President Inc. or the venue
Inc.
or
yeah.
the venue liable for any illness or injury. Now, guys, just imagine you go to an airport, all right? This is kind of theoretical. Just imagine you go to an airport and before you get on the plane, a ticketing agent says this. You know, in all likelihood, you'll land in Cleveland because these planes, well, they hardly explode. I mean, sometimes, but hardly ever. But just in case it does explode, could you sign this so your family can't sue us if it does, you know, explode?
Explode.
Yet thousands of requests and waivers have been signed in recent days, many of the fans arriving in buses to pack a 40,000-seat arena while COVID cases in Oklahoma have just spiked by 50%. One of the Trump fans... explained why they were going, and this is actually a clip we got. Listen to this, Randy.
We are the Borg. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
My brain hurts!
Yes, that's how I view the Trump fans. They're half Monty Python, My Brain Hurts, Mr. Gumby sketch, and half Borg. Yeah. That is exactly how I see them.
They have been assimilated by the Red Hats.
They have. The next thing that I had to mention, folks, just in passing, folks, we did say that one of the things that Congress they managed to do is that Trump got a literally huge amounts of money to bail out corporations. And then
billions
of dollars to bail out corporations. And the Democrats signed on to this first bailout bill. The first bailout bill basically gave the corporations, you know, trillions of dollars, because once you have a certain amount of money, you can leverage that to get more credit. So these guys have, but right now, evidently, the Trump administration won't say who got the $511 billion the taxpayer-backed Corona loans were financed by the taxpayers of America. They won't tell you who got them. Federal officials responsible for spending $660 billion in taxpayer-backed small business assistance said Wednesday that they will not disclose amounts or recipients of those subsidized loans. Backtracking on an earlier commitment to release individual loan data, which means when they were up and they assured the Democrats, no, we'll tell you who gets the whole, you know, raid on the Treasury. And then they went back on it.
Yeah, of course.
As we said they would in this show when we were talking about this. So, ladies and gentlemen, we told you so. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's all I really just wanted to say that.
And you did it with relish.
Yeah, I did it with relish because I sat there going, these guys are just raiding the Treasury. While COVID's going on, that first bailout was a complete and utter giveaway to corporations.
Yeah. Look over there.
And I can guarantee you that the corporations that received these guys, the huge amounts of money, they're all GOP contributors. Or they would be connected with the GOP. This is graft on an industrial scale, very rarely seen. You had the tax cuts.
Well, not since, who was the guy before Herbert Hoover?
Calvin Coolidge.
He had bagmen going in and out of the White House all the time.
Well, you know, I would probably say Warren G. Harding, you know, just open graft.
Yeah.
Open graft. And the first tax cut that they gave gave huge tax breaks to senators, congressmen, and rich people, and left most of the poor people out in the cold. And then the corporate tax breaks that are also financed by the taxpayers of this country, they won't even tell you who got them or how much they gave them. You are being screwed.
Screwed. And then the next thing they say is we have to take back all the Social Security and all the unemployment, which is not government property.
Yeah.
It is not government property.
You know,
if they're going to say we have to take that money.
Yeah.
To pay for the mistakes.
Yeah. And you know what really absolutely makes me crazy is that every time I go to a doctor here in Australia, you know, these guys are burglarizing your treasury. The military-industrial complex, you know that budget of the American military last year was close to $750 billion? $750 billion. That is more than the second and third and fourth militaries combined.
I thought it was the top 10.
I think it was the top three, but it might have been the top 10. I don't know. Yeah. It's absurd. It's corporate welfare on a massive scale, and then you turn around and tell people that they can't have health insurance.
But just look at percentage of the budget.
Yeah.
Percentage of the budget is 57% of the American budget is for the military and all the industrial complex.
That's amazing. Listen, the last thing I wanted to say before we went on to Randy's rant, ladies and gentlemen, is that there is a guy, you know him, ladies and gentlemen, he's on Fox News. He's Tucker Carlson. Yes, that.
Oh, poor Tucker.
That little preppy fascist is definitely on his way. So let's have a little cut. Basically, Tucker Carlson, went crazy because Elmo, you know the nice little, hello, I'm Elmo. You remember the nice little puppet, Elmo, on Sesame Street?
Tickle me.
Yeah.
That tickled.
Yeah, I know. Elmo evidently didn't like racism, and they did a segment on racism because, you know, kids might want to know what you're talking about. So here's what Tucker Carlson had to say about telling children
about poor little Elmo,
about racism. Here it is.
But for now, it's enough to say that the country's defenses have been badly weakened by decades of relentless propaganda, all of it designed to make us feel that we have no right to stand up for ourselves, to stand up for our country. We are too sinful to resist. We deserve whatever we get. Shut up and take it, America. We could spend days showing you examples of this, but here's just the very latest. It's from CNN over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm bringing this sign to the protest at the community center later.
They look upset. Are the protesters sad?
They are sad and upset, and they have every right to be, Elmo. People are upset because racism is a huge problem in our country. Across the country, people of color, especially in the black community, are being treated unfairly because of how they look.
It's a children's show. Got that, Bobby? America is a very bad place, and it's your fault. So no matter what happens, no matter what they do to you when you grow up, you have no right to complain. That's the message, and it starts very young. Where does it end up?
That's not the message, Tucker.
Of course not.
The message. That's not the message. And you're denying that racism is a inherent problem in American society, as it is in other cultures, but especially in America, where less than a couple hundred years ago, you were in the process of a slavery genocide thing that more or less propped up your economy through the, you know. So I think there is a race problem in America. What I am very, very fascinated with is why pointing it out makes Tucker Carlson feel guilty. Why are you feeling guilty, Tucker? No one said anything to you. They just said racism was bad. And you went, you're accusing people of something. I didn't accuse you of anything, yeah. Tucker, but, you know, maybe you have maybe you're a bigot.
Look,
maybe that's the problem.
Look, Sesame Street started in the late 60s, early 70s. I can remember they did death. They did marriage. They did love. They did all. They in this. I can remember when the guy that ran the shop passed away, and Big Bird was really sad. You know, they did a whole thing about what death was. They've never been afraid to touch these things. Bertner.
No, and they do a great service to the American people. I love Sesame Street. Yeah. I still love Sesame Street.
And just because Bert and Ernie are gay doesn't mean they can't
be. Well, they could be, but that's, you know.
That's what Tucker Carlson would say.
Yes, they are. They're a perfectly nice gay couple.
Yeah, the two guys.
Hey, Bert. you know, that's fine. I don't mind. But with, you know, it's times like these that you see what Tucker Carlson really is. Tucker Carlson is the chip on the shoulder of every aging white secret bigot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's that kind of, you know, what are they up to now? You know, why are they so pissed off?
When he goes on air before he has a chance to do his hair, you can still see it's where it's pointed because it was in the hood.
yeah. That's right. So Tucker Carlson is our jerk of the week, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, jerk.
You're
away,
a jerk, Tucker Carlson. A real jerk, really. A racist jerk. That's you. Tucker. Yeah, it's you. Let's give him the toilet bowl, ladies and gentlemen. Can we have the toilet bowl?
Give him a flush,
here? Yeah. That's a flush for you there, Tucker. Yeah. And don't go picking on Elmo. Otherwise, you know, I know some people in Jersey.
Yeah,
and
they'll break your legs with baseball bats.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I understand you're giving Elmo a hard time. We're going to take you to the marshes. And we'll sort you out, Tucker. All right. That's about all the time I have for with my bit. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go on a little bit.
It's my bit now, is it?
And now it's your bit. And we're going to be back after Randy Rainbow's bit
because this is
a little
my
comedy.
Namesake.
He's
wonderful.
He's a genius. Randy Rainbow, folks, on YouTube, get him. He's hilarious. We'll be back in a moment. during for show 253.
Four.
See you later.
Donald. 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 Have you guys seen the president? Donald.
Donald.
He sounded pretty angry from the tweet that he just sent. Donald. Donald.
Donald.
Donald. He said he'd make the country great. At least that was his promise.
Hey, Ivanka, it's Randy. Have you seen...
Thanks. And now that it's a mess, you think at least he tried to calm us.
Donald. Donald.
Donald.
Donald.
There's riots all around for an injustice that's systemic. And suffering and sadness from a dangerous pandemic. I sexted Jared Kushner and I drove by Mitch McConnell. I looked on every golf course and I checked every McDonald's. His Adderall kicks in and since it makes him kind of hyper, he acts like he's a big shot. But he's scared of what his diaper. Donald.
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 Guess who's hiding in the basement? It's that coward,
the bunker boy.
Who's dividing? Cause it makes him feel empowered,
the bunker boy.
A commander-in-chief might address all the grief and what's happening out in the streets.
But he's only a clown, so he hides underground and he sits on the toilet and tweets.
So be careful not to scare him. He's a flyer.
The bunker boy.
At the height of the protest outside the White House, President Trump was moved to the bunker.
I wonder if there's Wi-Fi and a special tanning station. I bet it smells like hamburgers and quiet desperation. I hear they had to childproof the bunk bed that they got him. Does he have a little ladder? Doesn't need one. He's a bottom.
I am your president of law and order. I will fight to protect you.
Who's that pushing civil rights off? It's our hero.
The bunker boy.
Bunker boy. Bunker boy.
Who's that pushing with the lights off? Watching hero.
The bunker boy.
Bunker boy. Bunker boy.
Oh, he loves to berate every city and state, because you know how he likes to act hard. Then he heads for the hills and he Netflix and chills while he calls out the National Guard. For the camera he mugs as he calls them all thugs while they beg him to stand up and lead. Then he sends in the cops for his own photo ops and he acts like he knows how to read.
Who's that conjure? Who's that crass con? Who's baloney?
The bunker boy.
Bunker boy?
Bunker boy.
Who's that dodger with no mask on? It's that phony.
So he lies there alone and he gabs on the phone to his girlfriends like Putin and Kim. He's embarrassed because they're all laughing at us, but they're all only laughing at him.
All only laughing at him.
Donald.
Who's that hiding in the basement? It's that coward.
The Hunger Boy. The Hunger Boy.
I will solve the problem.
The Hunger Boy.
Cooperation, not contempt.
The Hunger Boy.
I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order.
Don't fall for that bird.
I will fight to
British. Go to sleep.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
It's me, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not bumping and grinding, and I'm not in my pajamas.
No.
It's a cold winter's night, though, isn't it?
It is.
You chilly down there in Upway, Billy?
I'm actually quite chilly. I have my coat on while I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So,
We're in the middle. People don't understand we're in the middle of winter down here.
It is dead winter. Yes, it is.
Yeah, but it's a nice, pleasant winter. It's not freezing.
No, it's nice.
I actually, in the age of Corona, everybody's got so used to Zoom. Mm-hmm. I had a class reunion with a whole bunch of my high school buddies on Zoom.
How fun. Was it good?
Yeah, it was a hoot. Fun? Yeah, we've decided to do it every 2 weeks now.
Great.
I think people have taken to the whole... the digital thing about COVID-19 better than I think anybody expected. My wife teaches university on Zoom.
Yeah.
It's all on Zoom. Anyway, here's Randy's rant. That's not what my rant was about.
Oh, no, that's fine. We're all here to listen, Randy. So we're all okay. Just picture us all sitting in
Don't put on that
voice.
Not about
the gate. We're just picture us all don't sitting in a little circle, right?
Yeah.
And it's a campfire, and you're wearing a Scoutmaster's outfit, and you're going to tell us a story. Okay, Randy, go.
Here we are. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Can Donald Trump cancel the 2020 presidential election? You don't have to answer that. I've just posed that question.
That is the question, yeah.
Okay, now play this clip.
Okay. Which one is it?
The Legal Eagle clip.
Legal Eagle clip, ladies and gentlemen, for Randy's rant.
This video was made possible by Tab for a Cause. Raise money for charity just by opening new tabs, which we're going to do anyway. The coronavirus is wreaking havoc on the world. Gone is the basketball season, the Summer Olympics, and, unfortunately, baseball. But at least the Nationals will remain World Series champions for another year. So many things are getting canceled that people are wondering what else could possibly be canceled before this thing is over. Particularly, people are worried about the upcoming presidential election. Once considered completely unthinkable, people are now legitimately asking this question, especially since this has already impacted the political process. Already, several Democratic primaries have been postponed, even within hours of their scheduled primary date. For example, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine actually asked the state's Supreme Court to postpone their primary election. When the Ohio Supreme Court denied his request, he simply ordered the polls closed, effectively circumventing the court's decision.
This is not about politics. This is about protecting Ohio citizens' lives.
So if it's possible to postpone a primary election, can the general election be postponed as well? It's natural to wonder if President Trump already has a legally plausible plan up his sleeve to just cancel the election entirely and start a second term in office unelected. So can the president actually cancel the general election this November? The answer will surprise you.
Now, that was a chap named Devin J. Stone. Now, he's actually a lawyer, an American lawyer, and he does an online show on YouTube called Legal Eagle. Now, I came across him because I wanted the answer to, can Donald Trump cancel the 2020 presidential election? Mm. He looks at all kinds of law scenarios, not just constitutional law. So very good, very professional advice if you're looking for something of that ilk on YouTube. Now, the short answer is no.
He can't.
He can't. Many of the primaries have been canceled. Some of them have been postponed. But that's always the prerogative of the states. Mm. As well as delegating their delegates, and all of that is all by the states. But the presidential election is a constitutional matter.
It's mandated in the Constitution.
Yeah. So it's part of the Constitution. In fact, it is one of the first articles. The president is elected to serve 1 4-year term. Mm-hmm. Now, George Washington served 2 terms, but he had to be elected a second time. Everybody since then has been elected once or twice. Some like Ulysses S. Grant wanted to run a third time, but he was not elected. So people have always traditionally served 2 terms.
Until Roosevelt, who served.
Well, yeah. Now, what happened was the turnover, the 20th Amendment came in to give it actually a date and a time. So noon on the 20th of January, every 4 years, a new president is sworn in. Now, that is the date. It doesn't say that it has to be the guy elected in the previous first week of November, first Tuesday in November. So what happens, neither tradition or circumstances, most presidents have done 2 4-year terms until FDR, who, because of the Depression and his popularity and the social democracy and things that he did for everybody, Social Security, unemployment, he was actually elected 4 times.
No, really?
4 presidential terms. But he died 11 weeks into the 4th term.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And he was succeeded by a haberdasher from Independence, Missouri, one Harry S. Truman. Now, after FDR, Truman brought in a constitutional amendment that actually limited it to 2 4-year terms. But because Truman, like LBJ, because they took over the balance of a previous president's term, they could actually have run twice.
Right. Okay.
LBJ could have run again in 68. Harry Truman could have run again in 52, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. So, however, a vice president the president can't legally cancel the election. We had elections during the Civil War, two world wars, when the White House was burnt down in 1812 by the British. We still had the election that year. So even if Trump was to declare martial law and put troops in all the polls and everything during the voting, the presidency will still be vacant at 12 noon on the 20th of January, 2021. No matter what he does.
I wish I was as confident as you.
Well, so who? The thing is it's constitutional. Even SCOTUS, they can't suspend the Constitution.
Well, I think what you're seeing right now is know when he walked over and held that. I'm going to walk over and hold up a Bible. And when the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff came back about a day later and said, I shouldn't have been there, and explained why, that was a shot across the bow from the military. And that was them saying, all right, man, because I guarantee he knew he was doing that. He knew he was taking the Joint Chiefs of Staff with him, and he wanted to be photographed together to give the impression that these guys are on my side.
They were on his side. Yeah,
they're on my side. And what head of the Joint Chiefs just told him, sorry, that's not going to happen. No. Sorry, go ahead.
If he cancels the election because of martial law or whatever, and it doesn't go ahead, yet on the 20th of January at 12 noon, the office is vacant. Yeah. Who becomes president? Mike Pence, the vice president's vacant as well, so he can't do it.
Right.
Nancy Pelosi is up for a re-election.
Right.
She can't do it unless her state, California, automatically appoints her.
Right.
That is possible. Otherwise, the position will be declared vacant, and it has to go down to the fourth in line of succession.
Who is?
The president
pro tempore of the Senate. And who's that?
Yeah. Now, that's the oldest serving member of the majority party.
Yeah.
Now, because all of the congressmen have been reelected, they can't do it. So you have to, and two-thirds of the Senate have been reelected. So the only people left are mostly Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So the next person will be the longest-serving Democratic senator, and that's a man named Pat Leahy.
Pat Leahy. Oh, I know of Pat Leahy.
Yeah, he will be the president. On the 20th of January, 2021, if the election is somehow postponed or canceled.
Pat Leahy, so ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So the Constitution has covered all of these things.
Yeah.
Since 1791, all of these bases have been covered.
Okay.
That people aren't going to say, oh, what do we do? What do we do? It's there.
Yeah.
Okay, so whatever stunt Donald tries to pull at 12 noon on January 20th, he cannot legally be president unless he is elected.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It,
I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Now, you brought up the thing about the going to how they tear gassed the peaceful protesters in Lafayette Park. Now, Lafayette Park, next to the White House, has been used as a venue for peaceful protests for hundreds of years. Going back to when the White House was first built, people would gather in Lafayette Park. So the fact that he gassed everybody there so that he could walk across the park to this church and hold up a Bible was really wrong.
The best because person people, that is campaigning right now for Joe Biden is Donald Trump. It's like, you know, everybody thought there, oh my God, he's magical. How did he become president? No, he's just a fucking idiot. He was always just a fucking idiot. He got lucky.
It was under the orders of Roseanne Barr that
that's AG Barr.
That the federal agents with riot shields and riot gear and mounted police and flash grenades and smoke grenades and it's pepper balls.
Every television in the world.
All of that.
Every television in the world. And now there's
peacefully protesting.
What? I'm sorry, I didn't.
They were peacefully protesting the killing of George Floyd.
Yeah.
Okay. They weren't looting. They weren't burning cop cars. They weren't doing anything. They were simply peacefully protesting.
That's correct.
And they were walked all over under the orders of Roseanne Barr. Yeah. So there you go.
The Attorney General.
It goes against freedom of assembly, which is in the First Amendment. All of those things were thrown out the window. And it just is one of the defining moments of the Trump administration. Even religious leaders, because there were clergy, were gassed and beat as well.
Yep.
The clergy, maybe not the fundamentalists, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, but most of the clergy in America condemned his actions.
Yes, even Pat Robertson. You know, Pat Robertson, man.
Yeah, that's
even
right.
Even Uncle Pat.
Uncle Pat. Yeah. The second richest fundamentalist in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a clip that Jimmy Dore did on?
I do. From Jimmy Dore,
I'll play that now. This is Jimmy Dore does
a
really good
Trump
YouTube show.
Pat Robertson.
Yeah, Jimmy Dore does a good YouTube show for people who don't know it.
Yeah, it's terrific.
And he's a comedian and he's commenting on Pat Robertson, Uncle Pat.
Yeah,
Methuselah. The guy, is he? People actually run around and they go, "Is he still alive?" Yes, he is. And Uncle Pat Robertson was really offended. He's not offended at persecuting gays. He's not offended by that. But evidently, suddenly, a little conscience for old Pat. Here he is with.
This is the guy that God appointed. Pat Robertson was telling us God appointed.
Yes, that's right.
So was Jim Baker.
God was drinking one night. Here is Jimmy Dore. Yeah. Here it is.
So you remember when Trump did this, right? So he gassed all the people, peaceful protesters, and even some clergy. And then the park police said they didn't gas anybody. It's not film. That's what liars cops are. Cops are such, we live in such a corrupt society. So Trump did that. And he's so clumsy. I talk about some comedians when you see them, when I watch them, they make comedy look as hard as it is. You can see their homework all over. Like, it's supposed to make it look easy. Well, Trump makes it look hard. It's like, you can see he's just all thumbs when it comes to propaganda. He knows it. He knows how to do it, but it's so obvious. You're not supposed to make it so obvious, and why? Because it doesn't work all if you do it like that. Because that's aimed at the evangelicals, the super Christians, right? Well, guess what? Here's a super Christian responding to Trump doing that. Here we go.
Well, there's a purpose of everything under heaven we read in the Bible, and there's a time. And it seems like now is the time to say, I understand your pain. I want to comfort you. I think it's time we love each other. But the president took a different course. He said, I am the president of law and order. And he issued a heads up. He said, I'm ready to send in military troops if the nation's governors don't act to quell the violence that has rocked American City. As a matter of fact, he spoke of them as being jerks. You just don't do that, Mr. President. It isn't cool.
Trump to the right of Pat Robertson. Trump is now to the right of Pat Robertson. Donald Trump is too authoritarian for a guy who thinks he and only 699 other people are going to be let into heaven. Donald Trump, too authoritarian for that guy. And I would say he's mellowed with age, but he's been about 100 years old since 1970. So I don't know how... my whole life, this guy's been 100 years old. I don't know how this works. And by the way, I like how he says, it's not cool. Isn't that great? Pot is so socially acceptable, even Pat Robertson's doing it now.
It's cool. It's cool.
You know, it's just not cool, Mr. President. And I'll tell you something.
That's not cool.
When I'm looking to find out what cool is, I'm always looking for Pat Robertson.
Yeah. Now, you know, Willie.
That's great.
Willie, in the last show, we heard from Rick Wiles how they're going to impose Christian rule on America.
Oh, yeah.
It was officially going to become a Christian country.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to use biblical law as opposed to common law.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what side do you think Uncle Pat's going to jump? Because I don't think he's going to go with that if it ends up being Trump wielding the sword of righteousness.
Yeah, I don't know. There comes a time when you're just sitting there looking at Pat Robertson, and the only thing you're thinking to yourself is, "Christ, I'm glad I live in this country." You know, I mean, seriously. Yeah.
If you ask somebody
in Australia who Pat Robertson was, they would go, "I have no friggin' idea," and that is good for them because
he's worth $100 million.
$100 million.
$100 million. He's the second richest evangelical preacher. He and his 700
he club. Was con he was conning people when I was a kid, you know. Yeah. His 700 club has gone on. He actually ran for president, and yeah, he actually was one of those guys that had just, you know, the cruelty that he would show to people like gay people and everything like that. Just shocking. And then he would say something loopy like, the hurricane's not going to come near his center, which I believe is somewhere in Florida. I don't know. It's down south somewhere. And he was out there praying the hurricane away. Well, evidently the hurricane, I didn't hear the prayers. So, you know. And even after that, but I mean, it's just Pat Robertson, ladies and gentlemen. He's
he's been 100 years old show business. Since he's 1973.
Great. Yeah. What else you got, now, Randy?
Okay, all right. This is my last little thing because I have this cute little clip.
Okay.
On how Trump and America fucked up the COVID-19 response.
Yeah.
Now, as of today, the U.S. death rate is 119,000.
Yeah.
That's 25% of the world total.
Yeah.
Which is 440,000.
Yeah.
But America is only 5% of the population. So they are really punching above their weight, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Now, they've been going after China. China. Ever since they really started getting egg on their face.
Yeah.
About this and saying it was your fault, you didn't tell us. Now, China's actually struck back.
Yeah.
The empire strikes back.
Yeah, and they are an empire, by the way. Make no mistake about it. They are.
They did this cute little animation using Lego, you know, much like we've got the Lego Batman and all those movies have coming out. And now, it's the cutest little animation. People should have a look at it on YouTube, but I just like to play it.
So you're saying that the Chinese government, unaccustomed to having a sense of humor, I mean, Tiananmen Square was such a bunch of fun, but evidently they've developed a sense of humor because Donald has fucked up the virus so much. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is so clever.
Okay.
And I want you to play it.
All right.
And if you let me just tell you, the characters are the Statue of Liberty as a Lego. She represents America, but she's actually quite angry. And the Chinese are represented by doctors because they were the first victims of the virus, with the frontline doctors in China.
Yeah.
So have a listen to this little clip and have a look at it on YouTube if you can. Hey, when we become a vlog, we can play these things.
Yeah, we'll play bits of it. Yeah, so here it is.
Yeah, but I want you to. Here's the audio.
Here's the audio. Now, only Trump could make it so that Vladimir Putin could give us lectures on democracy, and the Chinese intelligence people could develop a sense of humor. So here it is.
Yeah.
Yours from the Chinese government, a bit of comedy. Here it is.
Hello. December.
Strange pneumonia cases reported.
Roger that.
January.
We discovered a new virus.
So what?
It's dangerous.
It's only a flu.
Wear a mask.
Don't wear a mask.
Stay at home.
It's violating human rights.
Building temporary hospitals.
It's a concentration camp.
Built in 10 days.
Show off.
Time to lock down.
How barbaric.
February.
It's overwhelming our medical system.
Look how backward China is.
The virus is killing doctors.
Typical third world.
It's airborne.
It'll magically go away in April.
Everyone stay at home.
Violation of human rights.
March.
Our numbers are now dropping.
Impossible. Look at Italy.
We wore masks.
You lied to us.
We made our data public.
You kept everything secret.
Your people are now dying.
You didn't warn us.
We said it was dangerous.
You lied.
April.
We said it was airborne.
You gave false data. Why didn't you warn us?
We said it was dangerous.
The virus is not dangerous, but millions of Chinese are dead. Even though the virus is not dangerous, we are correct. Even though we contradict ourselves.
Gosh, just listen to yourself.
That's right. You lied. We did nothing for 3 months. And because the WHO agrees with China, we're cutting funding for the WHO.
Are you listening to yourselves?
We are always correct, even though we contradict ourselves.
That's what I love best about you Americans. Your consistency.
Yeah, man, it's really depressing when... when dictatorships like Russia and China...
Take the piss out
get
of you.
Get to take the piss out of you. That a guy like Putin... who is too busy, you know, mixing up strontium 90 and tea and assassinating, blowing up, you know, anyone who disagrees with him or any journalist he wants, gets to lecture America. And now, evidently, the Chinese are doing Saturday Night Live with funny voices. meanwhile, they're so building their own islands around the Chinese East China Sea. They're expanding their influence, which is a military objective. That's what they're doing, man. They're expanding. Why? Because we're preoccupied with orange-haired dum-dum, the friggin' maniac who's in charge. Sorry, I just went off my.
That's okay. People get really upset about China here in Australia, as if Australia hasn't been bought by the British and the Americans. China is actually the ninth in economy for investing in Australia. But everybody's saying, oh, China's buying all of our farms. China's buying all of our business. They're not. The Americans are. The British are.
Yeah.
The French are. Mm. And you know what? Australia is in Southeast Asia. People forget that, you know?
Well, that's true. But, you know, something is that Australia has always sought to be the patron of a major superpower. And they used to be the patron of the British. And then during World War II, they became the patron of the United States. The
patron of America,
and the only reason that the United States, I think, would have any real concern about Australia is because of Pine Gap. Which is probably one of the most sensitive places in the world when it comes to gathering intelligence from Russia. From Russia. Yeah. If you lose Pine Gap, you lose that. So that's why America has a very close security relationship with the United States. But it's very, very difficult because the person in charge of that security relationship is insane. Yeah. So, it's a problem. So there
you're absolutely right, Willie.
Anyway,
I hope that we don't have the second wave as bad as it was 100 years ago when they lost up to 50 million people.
Yeah.
That is more than, that's twice the population of Australia.
I don't think it's going to be Spanish flu. I think we have a lot more when it comes to, I mean, the technology alone and the ability for...
I hope
I know so. It's not going to be that bad, but it is going to be bad. And Trump set it up. He was told. He was sitting there and he was told. All the places that they said were going to have relapses were all the states in which these governors didn't give a damn, and they allowed people out And they were told and told and told. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen right around November. The big one's going to happen right around November. And
that's scary.
That is scary. It is scary because my contention has always been, and Bill Maher, who's a comic, is always, I agree with him on one thing. He said, you're never getting him out of there. And you're never getting him out of there because, A, he's a psycho. And he's his self-image, his narcissism will not allow it. But B thing is that if he's removed from office, Biden has already said, hey, there's not going to be any pardons. And there's going to be charges waiting in New York State for, I don't know, take your pick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Take your pick of things. And all those the charges that they weren't unable to execute in the Mueller report for obstruction of justice, once he's out of there, they can.
Yep.
And I can guarantee you, and they should, prosecute him.
So, and his family.
So here's the thing, man. I think that Trump is the one card he has is those wackos all around the world, all around the United States with AK-47s. And I think that I do not think that he's above saying, I refuse to leave, and if you drag me out, I will start a revolution. I will get these people crazy.
Guess what?
I think he's fully capable of doing that.
Yes, but Bill, the presidency is not the office. It's not the Oval Office. It's not the White House. Yeah. It can happen anywhere.
But if he makes this become a confrontation, which is what he does, then
let him stay there till he starves.
No, what I'm saying is that he could do real damage. Everybody has a gun in America, for God's sake.
Yeah. But he could stay in the White House. They could cut him off.
Yeah, but I mean, these guys get their guns out if they can't take a haircut during COVID. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying is that that scares me.
They get their guns out. They get their guns out and they stand there with their big weapons.
Yeah.
Because they have, micro penis.
Thank you
syndrome.
Very much. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
I don't know why they are thinking that they are going to intimidate us because they can't.
Well, I hope things turn out well, and I think that we just have to pray for the people who live, in America. You know,
yeah, and my family, your, in you my, know, the you know, 99.999%,
yeah, my friends over there, and listen, that's about a month. I think that's about as much time as we have for this show.
That is. Do you want to go out with a song or just go out with a bang?
I want to go out with a song, Uncle Randy.
Okay, I've got a song for you.
What is it?
This is a very funny story. Very funny story.
Okay.
In a up in with Byron in a place called Byron Bay, up where Chris and Liam Hemsworth live.
Right. Yeah.
It's a nice tropical place in northern New South Wales. A bunch of blokes got together and they wanted to form a choir. And they started singing songs. They didn't know what they meant, but they were Russian military songs.
Fate.
Like the Internationale and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
And they got on YouTube and they went viral, especially in the Soviet Union, which sent dozens of reporters out here to interview them. And they were invited back to Russia to do a concert tour. These 28... Australian blokes singing in Russian who don't speak Russian. They put on kind of sailor's caps and all that sort of stuff to pretend they were Russian. Anyway, it's a phenomenon. So if you want to look them, they call themselves Dostoevsky, not like Dostoevsky, the author. Dostoevsky means like a, an ice bucket with dust on it, a Dostoevsky.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's their actual name.
All right, guys. Well, listen, take
Have a play.
Take care. And okay. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And that's enough. By the way, this is not, this is show 25, what is it? 254. I said it was 253. I'm losing count.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. And Susie, if you're out there, I'm waving to you. That's right. Hello.
Yeah.
And
Val, love to
out
Val.
There. Love to you all. Take care, folks. We'll see you next time on The Bill Show.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye.